I'd like now to welcome to the program Susan Gardner. She's an artist and poet. Her new memoir is called Drawing the Line, and she will be at Collected Works Bookstore this coming Sunday, September 18th at 2 in the afternoon. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte, for inviting me.
So the title of the book, Drawing the Line, is kind of a double meaning of both drawing the line as drawing lines as an artist, art being a medium that really pushed your life forward in many positive ways, and also drawing boundaries about things that against things that were happening to you that you wanted to keep out of your life.
Yes, absolutely. Some of it represents a line of travel because I've lived all over the world, and the lines that make our roots through our life and through the geographic space we occupy. And I suppose the hardest line to learn to draw is that boundary between what you want and what you would like not to have in your life.
So you basically had, I mean, there's a real generational thing going on, which is being a woman and getting into the kind of marriage which is really oppressive and then trying to get out of it. And your story is the story of so many women of your generation.
I think so. I think it's not only trying to get out of a marriage, but understanding what we used to promise and what was implied by those promises, not only in terms of marriage, but everything else. For example, I was accepted at MIT, and my father wouldn't allow me to go. He simply wouldn't sign the form. And in those days, for a girl or anybody to go to college, your parents had to sign their permission for you to go, or their authorization for you to go. Later on, I went to graduate school, and I didn't know I was going to be the first woman in the doctoral program there. And
what were you studying?
Believe it or not, political science and economics at Johns Hopkins. And the professor was deeply troubled by the fact that I was there. And he said, "Too bad you're here. You were the best qualified, and they decided we had to take women. But you're probably using the space somebody else could have used better." And there were many other adventures like that.
And that affects your mind.
It makes you believe that you... Well, it took me a little time, I suppose. But I guess I would say I'm either willful or perverse or stubborn or resolute, whichever one of those words you like. And I just, as I do to this day, I set my sights on where I'm going and put one foot in front of the other and keep going. And so when I went to Korea, it was a wonderful experience for the most part. I saw things, learned things, experienced things that I couldn't even have vaguely imagined before I got there.
What do you mean? Like what?
Well, I had no idea of the physicality of a Buddhist temple, for example. How free the experience is of being there. The way the colors and the sounds and the quiet of it can give you a kind of freedom in your mind that you wouldn't have anticipated. I mean, we talk about this, but experiencing it is something quite different. And in this book, I do refer to it a few different times. I didn't know that I was going to fall in love with calligraphy. And I was thought as a child to have no talent whatsoever for this and was not encouraged to follow my interests in art. Even though I dreamed of being an artist, there was no encouragement for it. And so when I got to Korea, I decided, after I'd been there about 5 years, I started to take painting lessons as if it were going to be a hobby. And it turned out to be the center of my life. And I was able, this is one of the meanings of drawing the line, I was able to see that when I drew a line, there is a space inside that line. We think of a line as having two dimensions from one point to another. And yet there is a space inside that line, and we can enter that space and find a kind of silence and perfection there that invites us to let our mind go there and maybe even perceive that perfection momentarily. And that came from a lot of experiences that I think prepared the way for me, and I was open to it, but nevertheless it came as a huge surprise. I could not really, I was only in my 20s. I was about maybe 27, 28 years old when this all happened. And I'd had a lot of experiences. I'd experienced gorillas in the garden of my house, and seeing girls work in a silk factory, being a Peace Corps volunteer. A lot of other things had happened to me by the time I was, before I was 30 years old. And that kind of experience changes your life. Only it takes time. And so even though I was in my 20s then and I'm in my 60s now, I'm still learning.
Your art was very much influenced by your time in Asia, by the art you saw and the practices you learned there.
Yes. In Japan, I had a wonderful calligraphy teacher. And she was the first person that really saw me as an artist. It's why she agreed to take me on as her student, because I was already an artist. And for 2 years, we met every Wednesday. And eventually, after our lessons, we started to go out together for lunch and to go to art exhibitions. And this whole relationship developed in Japanese. Eventually...
You spoke Japanese?
Yeah. Well, by the time I'd lived there for a while, I did.
Yeah.
She invited me to join their painting group, the disciples of the same artist who'd all been his students, and they got together, and by consensus, they invited me to join them. And I think, at that time, I'm sure I was the only foreigner, and I don't think they've ever invited another foreigner to join them, but I was her student, and then her friend, and then a member of this same group called Seibokukai, the Pure Ink group. And I even exhibited with them. And so the day I left that part of Japan, we had a party, and I heard her speaking English, really beautiful English. And I said, you never told me you speak English. And she just smiled at me and said, we didn't need it, did we? And so that's really how I learned Japanese, by learning calligraphy.
So why did you decide to write a memoir at this point?
Well, we like to go to Barcelona, and it was kind of rainy, and I had been thinking about a friend of mine, a wonderful artist here in Santa Fe named Nick Levayich, and he died a few years ago, but when he was sick and we were talking... We talked a lot during the last months of his life, and he kept saying, Susan, write it down. Write down why we think we're artists. Write down why we believe that things need to be beautiful, why we believe what we do. And if you write it down, people will understand what we do better. And I thought that's what I started out to do. This book is really accidental in that, in order to talk about why I was an artist and why things needed to be the way they are, I needed a context, and that context turned out to be my whole life.
Susan Gardner's memoir is called Drawing the Line, A Passionate Life, and once again, she will be at Collected Works Bookstore this Sunday, the 18th of September, at 2 in the afternoon. Thank you for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much for having me, Mary Charlotte.